Quick question. Have you ever wondered about the gap? You know, that nearly 2,000-year interim between the death and resurrection of Jesus and his return? Why so long? Why nearly 2,000 years between two comings? You know, if you're like most of us in the church these days, you've probably not given it much thought. But I'm finding insight into this question may provide answers to the time of the Lord's return. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Nordstrom, and welcome to the program today. Our friend Reggie Kelly has done a wonderful work in bringing understanding to this long-held mystery of the gap and what this will mean for Israel and the church as we approach the end of this age. I want to highlight a few important points that Reggie explains in much more detail on his site, mysteryofisrael.org. I urge you to check it out. Friends, the Spirit's revelation of the gospel is what brings clarity to the number of Old Testament prophecies that the Messiah would not just come once, but that he would come twice. Yeah, Old Testament prophets alluded to this in a number of scriptures, that this so-called gap would extend to the end of the time of the Gentiles, at the end of the Great Tribulation, that a blindness on Israel would linger over the covenant nation as God would return to his place and hide his face from the people for two millennia. Listen to the prophet Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 18. "And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they've done, in that they've turned to other gods." Isaiah speaks of God's absence in this way, Isaiah 64, 7, "And there is no one to call on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you've hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities." And this dilemma would continue until the day of the Lord that the gospel shows as Messiah's second coming. This gap would, at the appointed time, reveal significant timing indicators in this age and other mysteries, in particular that the church would attain to its full apostolic character and play a vital role in the midst of Jacob's trouble, the Great Tribulation. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 11. "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved." Folks, that's phenomenal. That's a phenomenal promise. The fullness of the Gentiles is directly related to the salvation of all Israel. The time of the end, the day of the Lord that marks the end of Gentile supremacy over the covenant nation. That's significant and little considered in the body of Christ. God's intent to have one new man, Jew and Gentile. Hear Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, "having made known to us the mystery of his will, that in the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him one new man from the two, Jew and Gentile, thus making peace." Who in the church has considered such a thing? An end to the ages-long Gentile domination over Israel? Many argue God would never have his church go through a great tribulation, no matter what, while others hold that Israel is no longer the centerpiece of God's eternal plan, that the Lord has turned his face from the nation, and now the church is his central focus. Replacement theology has deep roots and remains a significant force in end-time considerations. See, for all intents and purposes, we live in an unforeseen age between the two comings of Jesus. God's secret has proved to be a strategy to confound and overturn the wisdom of the powers of this age, both human and angelic. If the twofold coming had not been hidden, the princes of this age would have never crucified the Lord of glory. In God's economy, the cross needed to be concealed until the appointed time, God's appointed time. So how do we transition from this gap to the revelation of the mystery? The prophet Micah gives us a great deal of help here. So let's go to Micah chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He's laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. Now that's a bit of prophetic sarcasm that points to the crucifixion of Jesus. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel. Now listen to this carefully. Therefore he, that's God, therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor is given birth, until the Redeemer, the Son of God, the ruler of Bethlehem, comes in deliverance. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So with Micah's background, let's go to Hosea and see how this great gap mystery is fully revealed and comes to an end. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Again, the words of God. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Again, what's the offense? The rejection of Messiah. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Now listen to Israel's response here. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he's torn, but he will heal us. He's stricken us, but he will bind us up. Now these words are really key. These next words, listen to this carefully. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Listen to what this language reveals about the first and second comings of Christ. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction during the time of Jacob's trouble. They will earnestly seek me. You see, with the acknowledgement of the great offense, the nation's rejection of Messiah, God, who departed, now returns to revive the nation on the third day at the completion of the 2,000 years, that they may now live in his sight. And John's revelation provides us with the identity of that third day in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for how long? 1,000 years. Folks, that's the millennium. So if the day stands for 1,000 years, it becomes clear the set time for Israel's post-tribulation salvation and resurrection has always been 2,000 years from Israel's rejection of Messiah. As Peter put it, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So as I often like to say, at this very decisive moment, you do the math. You see, if this interpretation of the 2 days is true, then it's no wonder that Israel's back in the land back in 1948 and Jerusalem recovered in the 1967 war. No wonder Zechariah puts it this way in chapter 12. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. That's a yet future event. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. My friends, all current trends suggest that what remains to set the stage for the final 7 years of this age is quickly coming into place. For he'll finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gracious revelation of prophecy to your people. Lord, you've arranged the times and the seasons in such a way we'll not be constrained and helpless in the midst of the extraordinary events soon coming. You'll not leave your people unprepared. Your prophetic word is clear, Lord. You'll have a people prepared to partner with you to finish the work of the Holy Spirit on the earth. Father, we love the revelation that comes from you. We commit to be faithful stewards in bringing your light to the nations. We ask these things and we commit to these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Maranatha, beloved. I'm Bill Nordstrom.